Bibles, turn to Book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, and I'll kind of give you my, title for this, and probably Book of Ephesians is probably my favorite book, and I just love it. I think it's direct and to the point. Gives us great instructions for our lives and warnings, and gives us promises. And so if I had to title this, it would probably be, "What Man Are You?" And so I want to look at a couple, four different men, so to speak, in this, and just kind of, for us just to kind of go through it. I actually, Stephanie, she was asking me if I was ready, and I said, "Well, yeah, I guess I am." I said, "I don't have a single note on a piece of paper typed up or written down, so I'm trusting God." One thing I do know is I am inadequate, and without Him I can do nothing, but in Him I can do everything. And so I'm going to trust Him, and I think this just lays itself out, and I just want to highlight some things and hopefully maybe just enlighten us, remind us of some things, where we need to be, who we are. And in that, let's start in verse number 17. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And I underlined that "walk not as other Gentiles walk." Because we're going to talk about this first man down in verse 22, and it's talking about the old man. And in that condition where we have no hope, in that place in our life, if we're lost and undone without Christ, we have no hope. The Bible says in verse 18, it says, "Having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or the hardness of their heart." So they're in darkness, and we know that. It's real elementary, right? They're in the dark, and we're the light if we're saved. And that's real simple to me. I can understand that. Verse 19 says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." So, verse 19, when I was reading that and I was studying through this and just reading out some things, and I got to thinking about all that filth, all that ugliness that's in that verse alone, just in 19, where it's just, I don't know if that's probably one of the verses that contains it all, but if I look at some of that, the filthiness that's in that, the uncleanness and the greediness, all that that's rolled up, that sin in one verse that it's talking about, and that one ball of wax, it's bad. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation or the conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So, thinking of that old man, I circled that in my Bible because as I was reading this, I started thinking about that. I started thinking where I was several years ago in my life when I was lost and haven't been in church other than when I was a kid. And I was thinking about all the things that I've done and that old man and just who I was and where I was in my life. And, you know, I got to thinking about that, and that old man, he has a lot of effect on more than just me. That old man has an effect on me. He has an effect on my relationship or the non-existence with Jesus. That relationship, he affects my family. And there's so much more that we don't realize that sin and being lost in this world, how it affects us. We think about that, well, it didn't hurt anybody. That little sin, that didn't bother anybody. It affected somebody. I'd made choices in my life with my daughter when she was younger, and shameful of the things that she's seen. She heard her daddy say, seen him do. That has an effect. I pray to God that she doesn't have a memory of that. That she was young enough that all that's gone. That she can't remember it. And I think about Hudson. And I think how he'll never, I hope, pray to God that he never sees his daddy in that condition. That he's backslidden out of church and doing things of this world, I pray that he never has to see that. Pray that he never knows that. I wrote this down. We can't serve God or have a relationship with him in the old man. We can't have that relationship. God doesn't know us in that condition. And I wrote this down. We can't have that relationship with him, and we can't have that closeness to him in the new man with old man tendency. If we allow sin in our lives, when we become the new man, then we lose that relationship. We lose that closeness. And I want to talk about tonight, I want to talk about hitting a mark and moving forward and striving and making efforts for things in this. And we're going to come back to that. But I want us to think about it, that with sin in our life, it has an effect on every bit of that, in the old man and in the new man. Turn over to Romans 6:6, and I want to read a few verses here. I'm going to just read, maybe, just for time. Romans 6, verse number 5 says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So we're going to read in a few minutes on some verses. We're going to have to put some things to the side. We're going to have to put some things away. We're going to have to get rid of some things in our life if we're going to hit this mark. There's several different marks we as Christians should strive and be after in our life. But we're going to talk about a few of those, and one in particular. But if we've got sin in our life, just remember, that's what I want us to bring forth on this, is just if you think about anything else, how that sin affects each and every one of us in our relationship and walk with him. Verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." Now listen to verse 11 and 12. It says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but live unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we've got to die to that sin. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to die daily to the old man, to those old tendencies, to that sin that's in our life. Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." So get rid of it. There's no need for it. It just hurts us and so many more. Let's turn back and go to 4 and verse 23. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And here's the second man. And that ye put on the new man, which after God created in righteousness and true holiness." So I wrote down right here, and the old man, we can't serve God. We don't have that relationship. I wrote here, now we can serve him. There's a new beginning right here as the new man takes place. As we put on the new man, now there's a new beginning in our lives. Now we can go to work. Now we can start achieving and reaching those marks that we should set for ourselves and for our church and our families. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So I underline putting away, because we're going to see that again. And that's what I'm saying. We got to, as the new man, we've got to start getting rid of these things in our life that are going to hold us back, that are going to keep us from being able to serve and do what we need to do for God and what he commands of us, what he asks of us. Verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And I think about that real quick, and I think about Brother Ken, and I've heard him say that if it doesn't matter in 100 years, it doesn't matter. Let it go. What's it worth to harbor that kind of, you know, all that to be angry and to be wrathful and all that, if it doesn't matter in 100 years, just let it go. It only holds us back. It only hurts us in the new man and in this walk that we're in. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So I thought about this, and I didn't really study this verse out, but I just, what God had spoke to me with it is, we all know, you know, we shouldn't steal, we shouldn't lie, we shouldn't do wrong. We know that. But looking at this, I thought about when I was reading, working with hands the things which is good, and I got to thinking about, he wants us, we know that if a man to eat, he's got to work. And I was looking at this and I was thinking, well, working with his hands, the thing which is good. And I got to thinking about that in our Christian walks. And we should be putting our hands to work. Spiritually, we should be moving forward and doing what God's asked us to do. We should be moving forward and doing those things that he's commanded us, that maybe that he's given us the will that he has for our life, the purpose he has for our lives. We should now be moving forward with that. And then he says, the thing which is good. And I thought, what's your ministry? What's your thing? Is it going visiting shut-ins, the nursing home? You know, what is it, what's your ministry? What is that that you have that God's given you in your life? You know, and we're going to read some of that, that, you know, is it apostles, you know, preachers and teachers? You know, maybe that's not what we can all be, but maybe we've got a particular ministry that God's laid on our heart. I think about Brother Adam and the card ministry and those type things and, you know, taking a meal to someone, you know, helping someone out, just being good, you know, taking them to doctor's appointments, whatever it is. But it says here that he may have so that we can give to them that needeth. So when I looked at that and I read that, I thought, so God's going to bless me so that I can be a blessing to someone else. And that he can get the glory for it. So if we do what we're supposed to do, God's going to bless us. But then in turn, we're going to get to be a blessing to somebody. And then through that, our light's going to shine so that they can see God in us and him get the glory for it. And that's what it's all about. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Not to spend a lot of time right there, but we all understand that. The tongue is a powerful thing. And we understand how that it can build up or tear down. And we've got to be careful with that. We don't need to start rumors and slandering and false accusations on, you know, anyone. Much less even our brothers and sisters. But to use it for that edifying, for that building up. You know, I was thinking about, you know, correction. I used to have a hard time when someone would correct me. And, you know, and I thought, you know, I was right in the situation, and when someone would correct me, I had a hard time with that. And, but you know, there's a way to do that. And I have to be careful with that, even at work with, whether it's customers or employees or whatever it is, the tongue's a powerful thing. And in the way we say things, in the way we do things, in our mannerisms, even along with that, we got to be really careful with that. But use it for good. Use it to correct. Use it to help someone. Use it to, you know, encourage someone. If you know they're struggling with something in life, just encourage them. Just say something kind. That doesn't cost anything. Just be nice. It's really simple. We really make it difficult. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, and this is where it's just real plain to me. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So in 31 and in 25, he's saying we got to put some things away. We've got to get rid of these old man tendencies, that sin that's in our lives, even as Christians, even as children of God are saved, we've got to get rid of this sin that's in our life. We've got to die to that daily. We've got to fight those things. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I thought about this. Reading these, how many of you can say that that's ever been a problem in your life? Bitterness. I had a hard time with that, especially as a child. Single parent. My mother loved me, done all she could do, helped us, kept us fed and clothed. But I had some bitterness. My dad wasn't around much. You know, I had some bitterness. And when God saved me, I heard a sermon on bitterness and how it would just kill us. It'll just destroy us. And I thought about that and I prayed to God, you know, I've got a lot of that in my life. Lord, just please help me with that. And it's amazing when you let go of those things, how you can start towards those marks. Start moving forward in those things that we need to be doing. Anger, no one probably struggles with that. 30, we'll move on. 32. I could spend all night right there probably. 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's pretty plain, isn't it? Again, like I said, it doesn't cost anything to be kind to someone, to be tender hearted, to have some compassion. A lot of times I need help with that in my life. I struggle with the being compassionate to others. But we should that should be one of those things that, you know, we should ask God to help us with that. Give us strength for that. You know, help us do that. Help us open those doors, you know, in our own lives to be better at those things. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." So I want us to think about that just in that children and in this new man, because the mark I'm talking about is we're never going to arrive, but we should always be moving towards that perfect man. That's going to be the last one I want to talk about tonight, is that perfect man, but we should always be moving. And there's going to be trials in our life and there's going to be things that come up. But if it were on a graph, I would want to see it just. And through that, you'd never even be able to see it, but it would be always going towards the mark. But Randy, it'd always be moving towards that mark, that we would be striving to reach that in our life. I lost my place. All right. So in the children of this, I want us to think about this in the maturity level of our Christian lives. Being a new man, a new creature, a new creation in God, and being a child of God. I want us to think about that. Just small child, and in his height, stature, growth that's going to take place as we move in our Christian lives. So just remember that. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Verse 3. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." So again, this is real simple in my thought that these things, they're useless to us. All they do is hold us back. They waste our time. They waste our efforts in us moving forward and striving to those marks that we've got set for ourselves. That will that God's placed in our lives, that purpose, these things only hold us back and keep us from it. So don't waste your time on it. It's not convenient. It says, "but rather giving of thanks." So every day, every morning when I pray to God, I thank Him for all that He's done for me. I thank Him for the blessings in my life, for saving my wretched soul, for giving me a chance at life, that when I leave this place, I'll know no more sorrow, I'll know no more death, I'll not have any more bitterness. So I thank Him for those things, my family. I thank Him for my church. I thank Him for the church as a whole, the body that we have together as Christians, not just here gathered in this building, but as a whole. Because we're going to need each other one day. This thing's going to wind down, and we're going to need each other. Outside of these walls, we're going to need each other. Verse 5, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." This is my, and in verse 6, this is my third. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So, I'm calling this guy this man or that man. And I ask myself, and I'll ask you, are you this man? Or are you that man? Are you a stumbling block for someone in your life, a Christian, or even someone outside of that? Are you a stumbling block? Or are you this person who's deceiving someone? Are you this man? Are you that man? Listen to what he says. Now think about this. Brother Mike's talked about this, about the fall in the hands, how fearful it is to fall in the hands of the living God. And I thought about the wrath. I'm already going to have to stand and answer for the things that I've done in my life. And I'd hate to know that I carried this on and on and on with me through my Christian walk, that I was deceiving others, that I was a stumbling block for those. Listen to what he says. It says, for because of these things, didn't say it might, it says, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So I think about Brother Lee when I wrote this down in my Bible. It says, be wise in God's Word and understanding of His Word. So if we know what God says, we know the repercussions of what God says, and then we do it anyway, that's on us. If we do those things, knowing what His Word says, and having wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what God's Word says, and we do the things we do, have mercy. We deserve it. Verse 7, this to me sums this up. If we want to get rid of all these things before this in 5 that we were reading in verse 3 forward, it says in verse 7, it's really simple. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't have anything to do with them. I've got friends of mine that they live, I mean, they're full of the world. And I love them and I would do anything for them. But I've had to take a stand and I've had to distance myself from them because of the way I live my life and the way that they choose to live their life. And I can't be part of that because that affects me. It affects my relationship with God. It affects my family and it affects my church family. If I come in here and I've got sin in my life and I don't come in here every Sunday or Wednesday or Sunday evening that I'm in the perfect will of God and that I've got everything right. I don't. I'm not perfect. But if we can just even prepare ourselves to be in the will of God, to be in the right spirit when we come into these doors, it's unreal the services that we could have. And I thought about that, and I'm not saying it to mean it anything for here or anywhere else, but I just think about the older days and the smaller churches and the, you know, 25, 50 people that's sitting in a church, and how many of them had things of the outside world on their mind and in their heart. When they came to church, they came for a reason. They came to see what God was going to do, get help for their lives, and worship Him and give Him the honor and glory for everything. It wasn't things they were thinking about what they were going to do when they get out of here today or where they were going to go. It was God-focused, and they were prepared before they got there. They didn't walk through the doors and come to the altar and say, God, help me. There was preparation done before they got there. And if we're not doing that before we get here, we're robbing ourselves and we're robbing the church of a blessing. We can't build up and we can't edify ourselves if we come in and I've got sin that's holding me back. We can't do it. We've got to get rid of those things in our life. We've got to get rid of them. The simplest thing to do is distance yourself. Just don't have anything to do with them. If you know you can't be in that situation without the lust and the struggles of sin, don't do it. Take a stand. Move on. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be there. I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm not going to be there. I can't do that. It doesn't align with what God has in our life. If it doesn't, then move on. Verse 8 says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, here it is, and have no fellowship when the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Just move on. Don't have anything to do with it. It's real easy. Just move on. Or if you would just turn back, look at chapter 4. And I want to read, start here at verse 11. So we've talked about the old man, talked about the new man, talked about this man or that man in your life. Are you that man? And now I want to talk about the perfect man. So it says here in verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Till in verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So there's some of those marks that I was talking about, that there's several here. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man." When I was reading that, I just simply took that as, you know, it was referring to, you know, to Jesus here and speaking of the perfect man. But as I was reading, doing some studying on them, this, it's talking about the maturity in our Christian lives. It's talking about being mature, a grown up, if you will. Where I was talking a while ago about that child, when we were first renewed, we were first converted, first born again, and how we grow. And I thought about this, how in Stephanie's house, how they had, as all their birthdays each year, they marked it. And you get a little bit taller, a little bit taller. You grow, and you reach, you go a little bit more, hitting that mark, moving a little bit farther, hitting that mark, getting a little closer. And I was thinking about that, and it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So when I was looking at this and I was thinking about that perfect man and that growing up process in the Lord and in what He has, the will that He has in our lives, I said, well, how do we get to that? How do we reach that mark? How do we get there? So I just wrote down a few things and put them in order that I thought they made sense to me. And number one, how do we reach this mark? How do we get to this mark? I don't think we ever really get there fully, because if that were the case, then, you know, the Bible tells us to be Christ-like, and we should strive and try to reach that and do the best that we can each and every day. But I don't think we ever really get there here. Until we come unto Him, I don't think we ever really reach that mark. But we should strive to reach it. We should move forward each and every day to do that. So I wrote a few of these down. I said, first, in the renewed nature, we should submit, or we should surrender. I think to begin this journey, we've got to surrender ourselves, not to be saved, but we're saved, but to surrender ourselves to God. I pray that You have Your will in my way, in my life, that everything I do right now, Lord, I do it for You. I give it all to You. As our preacher said, my mind's made up. I'm going to turn it over to God. I'm going to submit my life for my family and my church. I'm going to submit and surrender myself to Him. Number two, we should seek Him. It says here, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith," there's a mark, "and unto the knowledge of the Son of God," there's a mark. So it's not just one thing that we're always moving forward for, but there's many. But I think we should always seek Him. We should seek after what He has for us in our life. Seek that purpose. Seek to serve Him. What's that will for our life? Once we know that, once we know what that is that He has for us, Then number three, we simply move into a servant. We begin to serve Him. Once we know where we're going, now we can serve Him. Now we can move forward. How are we going to get to this perfect man? How are we going to reach that mark? We're going to submit, surrender to Him, give Him our lives. We're going to seek Him. We're going to serve Him. Number four, I said we're going to have to stand. And I've said that before and just mentioning that in different things. We're going to have to take a stand. We're going to have to draw a line and we're going to have to say, this is me. This is our house. As in 24:15, Joshua says, as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to have to take that stand and we're going to have to say, this is us. This is where we are. This is who we are. And this is what we're going to do. And lastly, as I've said already, how are we going to reach to become that perfect man? We're going to have to strive. Every day it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight that we're going to have to continually, we're going to have to strive each and every day to deal with the sin that's in our lives, get rid of it. Those adversities that we're faced with, we're going to have to just move on through them and just keep striving till we can reach that mark. I hope that's helped. Thank you for your attention.